Let's open our Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. Jeremiah's 17th chapter, page 790 in your Scofield Bible. We'll read just one verse here. We'll turn to another portion of the Scripture and read other verses afterward. Jeremiah 17:9, page 790. And let's stand, please, as is our custom to do. Let's read the verse together. Ready? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Galatians, the 5th chapter. Galatians chapter 5, page 1246. Make that 1247. And beginning with the 17th verse, we'll read through verse 21. We'll read these verses responsively. For the Spirit lusteth against the Spirit, or the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if it be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, and let's finish up together, please, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I told you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then let's pray. And Lord, we need you so. We pray for your blessing, your power, your help in the service tonight. Pray, O Holy Spirit, that thou wouldst certainly fill us with expectation for the message, with hearts and minds that are hungry for your word. That's our preacher tonight in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak tonight on the subject, exactly what is sin anyway. I'm going to sort of wrap up a lot of the things I've said in recent weeks. I'm going to do what I can to wrap up what really is sin. We don't have the foggiest concept of what sin is all about. Not the foggiest concept. Our concept of sin is so shallow, it doesn't even come close to what sin really is all about. Most, as I've said before, most of the things that we call sin are just little festering sores that are ugly and nasty and are caused by sin. One of the most interesting things that I thought of in recent weeks. You know, this little scripture read a while ago said the works of the, says the works of the flesh are manifest. That's interesting. Now, follow me carefully. Now, let's pray first. Father, bless the message now to our hearts and help me to have the minds of all the people. It was sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. Certainly, we ought not to want to do it, commit it, even be in a good humor with it. So bless us as we think about it. Amen. It says the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and so forth. Now, I want you to notice, these are called the works of the flesh, not even called sin. These aren't called sins. God didn't say that these are sins. No, these are the manifestation of sin. That's all. The sin started a long time before the manifestation did. It said that the works of the flesh are manifest. But the flesh is what sin, and the fleshly life, and the manifestations of that fleshly life, are the things we mentioned a while ago. Now, I'm going to give you tonight, very simply, it won't be any long message, it won't be any profound message, but it's going to be something you ought to know. I'm going to give you very simply tonight what sin really is. First, sin is not being where I'm supposed to be. It's not being where I'm supposed to be. We have the strangest idea that sin is doing. Well, sin is just as much being as it is doing. Not being where I'm supposed to be. That's sin. There's one place where God wants me to be. I can't be but one place, and there's a place where God wants me to be. Any other place. Now, for example, I think God wants me to be right here where I am tonight. This is God's place for me at this very moment. Any other place would be sin. Now, what I'm doing at the other place doesn't matter. It's still sin to be there. Look, the worst thing about being in a tavern is not that you're a tavern. It's the fact that if you're in a tavern, you're not where God meant for you to be. The worst thing about being outside the will of God is that you're not in the will of God. If you're home tonight on Sunday night, if you're home tonight making some cookies for a blind person, you're still not where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be in God's house. And it's sin. And it's sin not to be here. So I'm saying the worst thing, now hear me carefully, the worst thing about doing bad is that you're not doing good. When you're doing bad, you're occupied and can't do what you're supposed to do. God didn't look down one day and say, I think I'll make me a race not to drink. He didn't do that. He said, I think I'll make me a race for my praise and my honor and my glory. Now, drinking will not add to that praise and honor and glory, so drinking is wrong. Dope will not add to that praise and honor and glory, so dope is wrong. But the first thing about sin, first thing that's sin, it is not being where I'm supposed to be. We flippantly decide where we go. It's amazing. It's amazing how older people decide to retire and where they decide to go. Oh, I'm tired of the cold weather. I'm sorry, but that's not a good enough reason to be anywhere or not to be anywhere. Oh, I want to go back home where the old folks are. I'm sorry, but that's not a good enough reason to be anywhere or not to be anywhere. The thing you ought to be concerned about is where does God want me to be? Of all of the thousands and tens of thousands and millions of places you could be tonight, out any place other than one is sin. I'm not talking about a mistake. I'm talking about sin. I'm talking about sin like drunkenness is sin. I'm talking about sin like murder is sin. I'm talking about sin like adultery is sin. I'm talking about sin like stealing is sin. It's sin. Not to be where God wants you to be or where you're supposed to be. All right? That's the first thing. Sin is not being where I'm supposed to be. And all this outline tonight will be in the form of a sentence, and I'll give you another phrase in the sentence. So sin is not being where I'm supposed to be and doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm sorry, doing what all are supposed to do. That's the first thing. Doing what all are supposed to do. All right? Why did God make all of us there? Now, there's a reason unique to me why God made me. But there also is a reason why God made me that is the same reason that God made you. You see, we're all made to do some things, and we're each made to do one thing unique to himself. So, first thing, it is sin. What is sin? Not being where I'm supposed to be. Secondly, not doing what all are supposed to be doing. Well, now, what are all supposed to be doing? The Bible says we're created for the praise of His glory. We're supposed to glorify Him. We're supposed to magnify Him. How long has it been since you praised God? I didn't say how long has it been since you got up in church and hollered. I'm not against that. But how long has it been since you praised God? How long has it been since you got alone, looked up to heaven, and glorified God, and told Him you loved Him, and told Him that He was your God and your Father, and He's wonderful, and He's compassionate, and you love Him and thank Him for His mercy and His goodness and His kindness and His forbearance and His compassion and His love? How long has it been? Okay, then that's sin. And I'm a little sick and tired of non-praisers criticizing smokers. I'm a little sick and tired of non-praisers criticizing cocktail sippers. I mean, what right do you have when you're committing one form of sin, to criticize somebody else who's committing another form of sin. I'm saying that it is just, in fact, it is more wrong. God, look, God made all of us for the praise of His glory, for His worship, for His honor, for His exaltation, and for His pleasure. Now, if we're not doing that, then we sin. Oh, what is sin? Oh, you say sin is drinking. What is sin? Oh, you say sin is cursing. All of that is a part of sin, but it is not the root of sin. It is not the base of sin. It is not the foundation of sin. It is only sin when it is finished. But, brother, sin is just as bad when it is conceived. And the person tonight in this room who is not praising His God and glorifying His God and magnifying His God and honoring His God is just as bad a sinner as the guy that went down the tavern last night and got drunk. That's not as much a sin to you, because he may run over you and kill you. But as far as God's concerned, God didn't make a generation of people not to drink, and God never said, I'm going to make a generation of people not to curse. Look, the reason you're not supposed to curse is that cursing doesn't glorify God. But neither does babbling glorify God. But neither does yakking glorify God. But neither does criticizing the fellow who curses glorify God. And as far as the Bible's concerned, the one who criticizes the curser is just as sinful as the curser is, because both are doing something to occupy their tongues and keep them from using their tongues to do what God intended for the tongue to do. God made your mind for a purpose. Now, the sin is not using that mind for that purpose. And if you're not using your mind for a certain purpose, if you're not using your hands for the purpose that God made them, if you're not using your tongue for the purpose that God made it, I'm simply saying God gave you a tongue with which to praise Him and exalt Him and glorify Him. And the bad thing about cursing is you can't curse and praise God at the same time. I'm saying that we're all supposed to do something. Sin is not being where I'm supposed to be. Oh, I wish somehow I could learn our people. I wish I could teach our people somehow what God's really all about. I wish somehow we'd get to the place where we understand what the Christian life is really all about. You're not a good Christian because you don't smoke, drink, curse, dance, go to movies, or listen to rock music. That does not make you a good Christian at all. We got a fence in the backyard. Doesn't do any of those things. You're not a good Christian. The only reason you're supposed to stop those things is because those things will keep you from doing what you're supposed to do. And you stop those things and don't do what you're supposed to do, and you're still not right with God, and you have no right to look down your pharisaical snoop and criticize somebody else. When your tongue is silent, you have no right to criticize somebody else's tongue. Because your tongue was made for the glory and praise of God, and your heart was made for the glory and praise in honor of Almighty God. I say, what is sin? Sin is not being where I'm supposed to be, and it is not doing what all are supposed to do. And number three, and it is not doing what I am supposed to do. This is what we call being sanctified. What is sanctification? Person that doesn't have any bad habits? No, that's not sanctification. My dear, sorry to say Pentecostal friends and charismatic friends, but nowadays you don't hear much about sanctification on them. They're too busy watching movies, interviewing movie stars, and painting their faces. I'm saying the old-fashioned sanctified people, they weren't sanctified at all. To them, sanctification was to quit this and quit that and quit this and quit that and quit this and quit that. But sanctification is this. It is God being able to put us completely to our correct use. Let me say it again. Sanctification is God being able to put us completely to our correct use. God didn't make you not to do something. God made you to do something. And if you are not doing what He made you to do, it doesn't matter what you're doing. I'm not saying that doing wrong, that committing obnoxious things is okay. I think all these, I'm not commending these works of the flesh. I'm simply saying, I am not commending the flesh at all, whether the works come out or not. And if you will walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, you won't have to worry about these works of the flesh. But for you to try to, you live in the flesh, and you live with your temper, and you live with your hatred, and you live with your criticism, and you live with your covetousness, and you live with your bitterness, and you live with your revenge, and you live with your bad spirit, and you live with your lust. And you criticize folks that do outwardly what you do inwardly, I doubt if you're qualified to throw the first stone. God had a job to be done. I've said this 1,000 times in the last 27 and a half years. God one day had a job to be done. And God chose, God made you to do that job. Did you hear what I said? God made you to do that job. Now, most of you couldn't care less what God made you to do, as long as you can get enough money, as long as you can get a nicer house and drive a good car. But I want to tell you something. When you face God, the big thing that you're going to face God for is not your drinking. And the big thing that God's going to hold you accountable for is not even your cursing, though that's wrong. The big thing that God is going to hold you accountable for, did you do what He made you to do? That's the big thing. Did you do what He made you do? Anything apart from that is sin. So, sin is not doing what I'm supposed to do. Sin is, number one, not being what I'm supposed to, not being where I'm supposed to be. Sin is, number two, not doing what all are supposed to do. And number three, not doing what I am supposed to do. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, that God had a job to do. God didn't look down and see you and say, I wonder what I can do to keep Him busy. No. God had a job to do. And the reason you're 5'11", or the reason you're 5'5", is because God needed somebody 5'5", to do the job He wants you to do. You ought not to complain about how tall you're short you are. God made you your height because somebody your height was needed to do a job. Don't complain whether you're pretty or ugly. It doesn't matter. In fact, that's all relative anyway. But I'm saying that don't matter about that. God needed somebody with a nose just like yours to do what He wanted you to do. And God needed somebody with a puss just like yours to do what He needed you to do. And thank God tonight for the way God made me. I'm not the best looking guy in the world. I am the best looking guy on the platform. But I'm not the best looking guy in the world, and I'm not the biggest guy in the world, and I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I was made as a designer's model, as an original, by God Almighty, because God had a job to do. God looked down one day and said, I need somebody to pastor the First Baptist Church of Hammond, starting in 1959, and at least until 1987, I need somebody, and God said, that man needs to be 5'11" and 3/4 inches tall. And God said that man needs to have big brown eyes. And God said that man needs to have thinning hair on top. And God said that man needs to weigh about 175. Nobody is perfect. But God made me. God gave me my IQ because this church needed a person with my IQ to pastor it. God gave me my size because God needed somebody this size to pastor this church. And you look at me carefully, folks, because there's not another one like that in the whole world. Not another one like that in the whole world. And there's not another one like you in the whole world. You are an original. You are a designer's model. And the reason God made you like He made you was God had a job to do that nobody else could do but you, and nobody else could do like you. Now, in God's dear name, get busy finding out what it is and get busy doing it. If you don't, you're living in wicked, vile, filthy, rotten, mistaken sin. Sin! 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 God had a job for you to do. You're not doing it, it's sin. So far, we haven't said one thing except in reference, negative references to what you call sin. Sin is not being where I'm supposed to be. Ask your question tonight. Does it matter to you where you are? Does it matter? Do you care whether or not you are where God wants you? You say, well, how can I find where God wants me? The first step is to really care. I'll pour water on him who's thirsty. You get thirsty and you get where the biggest thing in your life is to be where he wants you to be, doing what he wants you to do, he'll pretty well come near telling you. Sin is doing, not being where I'm supposed to be. And sin is not doing what all are supposed to do. And sin is not doing what I am supposed to do. Number four, for the purpose I'm supposed to do it. You can be right in the middle of where God wants you to be. And you can be doing exactly what all people are supposed to do. And you can be doing exactly what God called you to do and do it for the wrong purpose, and that's sin. My Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You ate lunch today, not for the glory of God. I mean this when I say it. You sinned. I'm not talking about little sin. I'm not talking about little white sin. I'm talking about black sin. I'm talking about big sin. My Bible says, whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Didn't say do most to the glory of God. Do some to the glory of God. It says do all to the glory of God. All of it. All of it. That's why some things that are good things to do still are sinful. The thing is not sinful because you're supposed to do it. But the reason you do it is sinful. Bible says that two men went up into the temple to pray. Now get this. Both these men took the same route. Both these men went to the same temple. Both these men went inside the same building. Both of these men bowed their heads. Both of these men prayed. And one of them, God went down to his house justified, and the other didn't. What was the difference? Why they prayed? It was why they prayed. That's all the difference. One prayed to the glory of God, the other did not pray to the glory of God. Same thing. Bible tells us the story of Cain and Abel. They both went to church on Sunday. They both went on the Sabbath day. They both went to church. They went on the right day. They went to the right place. And each brought an offering of his own profession. And one was accepted and the other wasn't. Why? Because of why they did what they did. Now listen to me. God, okay, that's what it means in Isaiah 64:6. It says that our righteousness is like filthy rags. So two folks can be kind. One person can be kind, another person just that kind. One sins, the other doesn't. Why? One is kind for the glory of God, one is kind for his own glory. Same deed, one sins, one does. The sin, ladies and gentlemen, is not always in the deed. Two people give. Two people placed in the offering plates a while ago. And two people give. It's sin to one, not sin to another. Why? Because of why they gave. One gave because he had to give. The other gave because he wanted to give to glorify God. Two people pray. Praying, the one is sin. Bible says that plowing in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4, the plowing of the wicked is sin. Anything wrong with plowing? No, not unless you plow for yourself. Not for God's glory. Well, you say, preacher, you're trying to get me to tell me everything I do is supposed to do for God's glory? No, I'm not trying to tell you that. I'm telling you God has told you that. So, what is sin? Now, if you listed sin, you wouldn't have gone this way at all. That's why you haven't got, listen, you haven't got the slightest concept of what things that you do in your life that are not in themselves wrong break the heart of God Almighty. Sometimes I think we ought to just burn fundamentalism up and start it again. Scrape all of us off the table and start a whole new generation of fundamental people again that know something about the great heart of God. We have grown a generation of self-righteous Pharisees that have listed our own concept of what wrong is, and we've listed our own concept of what bad is. We don't think about how wicked, how vile, how filthy it is not to be where God wants me to be and not to do what God wants me to do and not to do it for the reason God wants me to do it. Sin. I said it's sin. You haven't got any right to look down your Pharisaical face at somebody else. No, you haven't got any right to curse somebody else. haven't got any right to point your finger at somebody else. That would be good. It'd be good for all of us just to quit looking at any of us. Just quit looking around. Somebody does something you don't think they should do, you just get in your closet and look at yourself and say, is anything I'm doing I shouldn't do? Anything I ought to do, I'm not doing. You got a full-time load keeping yourself right. You haven't got time to work on me. I haven't got time to tell you what you ought to do. I'm telling you from the Word of God as your pastor tonight what sin is, and sin is dead sure a heap more than what you think it is. Did you hear about so-and-so? Yeah, and I heard about you too. And listen, now you hear me carefully. Listen to me. Did you hear about so-and-so? That is sin. And I don't know what so-and-so did, but it's no worse than what you're doing. Did you hear what I said? Now you say, I'll not come back here again. I'll clip your wings while you're on the way out then. It's time you got religion. Now you listen to me. When you said, did you hear about so-and-so, you committed a sin equal to so-and-so. Because you could not say that to the glory of God. And my Bible said, that which is not of faith is sin. And my Bible says, you to do all the glory of God. You could use that same breath to say, praise God. You could use that same strength to say, isn't God good? But you decided that you're so good, and you're so wonderful, and you're so holy, that you can look around and find what he does, and she does, he does, and she does. Let me tell you something. I love you, but I know you pretty well, and I know your flesh, and I know me. And I know that you've got all you can say grace over to take care of your own problems and your own sins without policing the whole world. You're not the judge. You're not God. I'm not condoning anything wrong. But you are. What you're doing is you're condoning half. You're condoning the root of wrong. What is sin? Sin is not being where I'm supposed to be. That's sin. I'm not talking about mistake. I'm talking about sin. Sin is not doing what all are supposed to do. I'm not talking about mistake. I'm talking about sin. And you're not doing what you're supposed to do. I'm not talking about an error. I'm talking about sin. Black, filthy, vile, rotten sin. God made you for a purpose. He made you for one purpose. He made you for one job. He made you to do one task. And if you are not doing that task, you have no right to criticize the drunkard. And drunkenness is wrong. Don't misunderstand me. But what you're doing is also wrong. For you to step outside where you're supposed to be and criticize the harlot is double harlotry. And I'm not advocating harlotry. God knows I'm not. I'm advocating God's people checking on ourselves and not each other. What is sin? Sin is, number one, not being where I'm supposed to be. What is sin? Sin is number two, not doing what all are supposed to do. What is sin? Sin is number three, not doing what I am supposed to do. What is sin? Sin is number four, not doing what I'm supposed to do, or doing what I'm supposed to do for the purpose I'm supposed to do it. If I do not do what I do for the purpose I'm supposed to do it, even though I'm doing what God made me to do, if I don't do it for His glory, it's sin. Two people appear to live like Jesus, and they look like it. Two people forgive. One forgives because he wants to for his own glory. One forgives for God's glory, and the forgiveness is sin. Two people give something to the poor. One does it for his own glory. One does it for God's glory, and the giving is sin. Two folks plow a field. One plows for God's glory. One plows for his own glory, and the plowing is sin. Two folks work at nurses in a hospital, and one does it for God's glory, and one does it for outside of God's glory. One does it for God, it is sin. Two folks work in a grocery store. One does it for God's glory, one does it for himself, and to one it's good, to other it is sin. I'm saying that that which is not done for the right purpose, even if it's the right thing, is sin. What is sin? Sin is not being where I'm supposed to be. Sin is not doing what all are supposed to do. Sin is not doing what I am supposed to do. Sin is not doing what I'm supposed to do for the purpose that I'm supposed to do it. And number five, sin is not doing what I'm supposed to do in the power I'm supposed to do it. And that goes back to what we've been studying about. Romans 4:11 says, we're made for God's pleasure. Hebrews 11:6 says, faith is all that pleases God. Romans 14:23 says, that which is not of faith is sin. That which is not of faith is sin. You can drink milk without faith, and that's sin. My Bible said, whatsoever you drink, do all to the glory of God. So, two men may do identically the same thing. One fellow plows in his own strength. One fellow plows in God's strength. It's good for one and sin for the other. That's the Bible. It's the Bible. I can stand up here like I did Wednesday night and preach against television and have you rolling the aisle shouting. You haven't got the foggiest idea what Christianity is all about. Not the foggiest idea. God didn't make you turn television set off. You remind me of the fellow who stopped beating his wife to show her how kind he is. That's the whole, that is the concept of the average fundamentalist. Quit beating your wife to show her how good you are. That's exactly what you're doing. You quit drinking to show how good you are. You quit cussing to show how good you are. And you ought to quit cussing. You ought to quit drinking. But that doesn't take you out of sin. Sin is not just the cussing. Sin is if you quit the cussing and don't use your tongue what you're supposed to use it for, that's still sin. Anything that's not of faith, teach your Sunday school class in your own strength, that's sin. I preach a sermon in my own strength, that's sin. I prayed 200 times or more this afternoon, God, speak through me tonight. God, give me power tonight. God, I yield myself to you. Take over tonight. Somehow, let me see, tell my people, or you tell my people through me, something about the great heart of yourself so folks can know that sin is not that which inconveniences each other. Sin is that which causes us to be outside the great purpose of God for our lives. Now, so far, I haven't said a word about what we call sin. I go back again to said a while ago. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now, if you listed sin, that's what you'd list, but that's not what God lists. God lists that as the works of sin. That sin working. The sin was already there. And that sin working. That's why Jesus talked about having a clean mind, a dirty mind is as bad as committing adultery. That's why he said having a mind full of hate, heart full of hatred is as bad as murder. Aren't these sins, now I want you to follow me carefully because this comes to something probably you've never heard before. Aren't these sins, these things listed in Galatians 5, aren't they sins? Not totally. These are part of sin. I'm not going to say this is true, but I think it's true. I don't think you'll ever find these things called sins in the Bible. You go to 2 Timothy, where God lists the things that folks do in the last days. I don't know of any place He calls those sins. They're wrong, and they're sins. But they're a part of sin. And you take those away and you still have the sin. The sin started a long time before these things happened. And you just clipping off the end. Listen, you squeeze the pimple. If you got a blood disease, it's going to pimple up there again. That's why you come down the aisle and promise God you're going to quit this and quit that and quit this and quit that. Don't quit this and quit that. Why? Because you didn't dig all the way to the roots. You're chopping the dandelions off just right under the flower. And more dandelions grow. You got to dig them up with the root. So sin is sin before these things ever come. And these things are simply manifestations of sin. We read in our text a while ago that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Heart. Now, heart doesn't drink. The heart is desperately wicked. So what is drinking? Drinking is the manifestation of the sin in the heart. What is cursing? It's a manifestation of the sin in the heart. What is adultery? It's manifestation of the sin in the heart. What is cheating? It's a manifestation of the sin in the heart. So the honest truth is, you get rid of these things, you won't get rid of sin unless you get the root out. Follow me carefully. The sin, these manifestations, I mentioned Galatians 5, these manifestations are a part of one, every one of them is a part of one of the five things I gave you tonight. Every one of them. Don't anybody leave this place and say, Brother Howell said drinking is not sin. Drinking is sin, but it is only a part of sin, and cutting out the drinking will not stop the whole sin. It's wicked. I'm trying to get you back to what caused the drunkenness. You promise you're going to quit fighting, quit gossiping. There's nothing any worse than trying to destroy somebody's reputation by your long tongue. Nothing any worse. The honest truth is, anybody here would rather die than have his reputation slandered. I mean, physically die. A person that will slander your reputation is worse than a murderer. But you cut off the slandering. It doesn't stop the sin. The sin's in here. The sin, the root is still there. You got to go back and let the Holy Spirit control you and work on you and get the root out. You promise God you're not going to gossip, but you do. Why? You don't get down the root. You cut off the dandelion off just under the flower. You don't dig it up. You're mowing the dandelions. You talk about something discouraging. Try that. You mow those dandelions by the time you get through mowing them, the first part of the yard has them grown again. Give or take a few days. I'm trying to say that the average child of God has no concept what sin is. No concept at all. We look at the manifestation. The manifestation is not the sin. The manifestation is the result of the sin. The murder is a result of the sin. It's a part of the sin, but it's the end of the sin. The lying, the stealing, the adultery, the cursing, the gambling, the cheating, that's a result of the sin. What is sin? Sin is that which leads you to these manifestations. But the manifestations are simply works of sin. But you're never in this world. You're never in this world going in your life. You're never going to live a life of righteousness. Until you get a bigger concept of sin than squeezing the pimples, you're not going to do it. You're just not going to do it. And sometimes don't misunderstand me. I believe in standards, and God knows I believe in standards. And I believe in righteous living, but I believe in righteous living that'll continue to be righteous living. Like the drunk told the judge, he said, "Don't send me up, Judge. You'll take care of the wife and kids." And the judge said to him, "How can I trust you?" He said, "Judge, I told you 15 times. You can trust me." "Yeah, I know 15 times. Yeah, sure, you can trust me." Do you know why he goes back to the tavern? He goes back to the tavern because he didn't get the sin out. He got the manifestation out for a few days, but not the sin. You know why you ladies that, I've said this before, you folks that hate television, you're pretty good on using the telephone. And if I had my choice tonight between taking all the televisions out of all your houses and all the telephones out of your houses, I'll take the telephone and leave the television. Well, that didn't get many amens. You know why? Because you're too busy calling folks on your telephone criticizing somebody that's got a television. We don't have the slightest concept of what sin's all about. We've never learned what it's all about. Sin is that which is contrary to being sanctified. And being sanctified is God being able to use me for the purpose which I was made. I was in a certain state not long ago. A student said, I left Tiles Anderson College. I used to go to your school. I said, when did you graduate? Oh, I didn't graduate. I quit. I said, you did? Oh, I said, I didn't do anything bad. See what I'm saying? Oh, yes, you did. You left. Yeah. That's bad. What you meant was, didn't read Playboy magazine. But you left. So you're not where you're supposed to be. And that's sin. So what you do is get where you're not supposed to be and criticize people doing what they're not supposed to do, but not being where you're supposed to be is as much sin as not doing what you're supposed to do. And not doing what you're supposed to do is as much sin as doing what you're not supposed to do. Let me say it again. Not doing what you're supposed to do is as much sin as doing what you're not supposed to do. And not being where you're supposed to be is as much sin as being where you're not supposed to be. The great purpose, the great sin about a wasted life is not where it is, but where it isn't. The great sin about a shipwrecked life is not what happened, but what can't happen anymore. That's the great sin. What I'd like to do tonight is make you a big enough sinner in your own mind. And by the way, you'll never be a good Christian until you do this. I'd like to make you a big enough sinner in your own mind to where you will not ever again inspect other people's sins. Now look at me for a minute. Look right this way for a minute. Some of you folks have got bitterness in your heart towards somebody. Some of you folks trying to hurt somebody. Some of you folks have evil thoughts towards somebody. You haven't got any right to criticize a drunkard. Won't you become a Christian? You haven't got any right. See, listen. What you do when there's somebody that you have bitterness against, is you're setting yourself up as God, judging them, and my Bible says all judgment is given to the Son. It's God's business to judge. Jesus, not yours. And if you ever, listen, if you, and I'll close with this, now hear me carefully, if you ever get where you ought to be, you will not be conscious about the sins of others. You'll be conscious about your sin. And you'll be so occupied with your own sins, you will not be conscious of the weaknesses of others and sins of others. When Isaiah got where he ought to be, he didn't say, woe is he. He said, woe is me. Why? For mine eyes have seen the King. You walk with God like you ought to walk with God, you won't see much go down here. Down in Texas the other day. I may have mentioned this. I was down in Texas the other day preaching one night and stayed over the next day and had late breakfast with our two daughters there, Becky and Linda. We're sitting at the breakfast table and it must be about 9 o'clock in the morning and Linda said, Dad, what's new at home? I couldn't think of anything new at home. She said, how's Miss So-and-so? I said, what's wrong with her? I sat there for 15 minutes listening to them tell me what's new up here. I don't know what's new up here. I don't want to know what's new up here. I want to walk with God so much for 6 days. When I walk through that door right there, I will have walked with Him and not been examining others and give you what you need. Well, we can't be judges, but we can be fruit inspectors. Who told you that? You have a license to be a fruit inspector? Who told you that? No, you have no right to do that. I don't know all of you personally. I know some of you personally. The ones I know me personally too. And I have a full-time job. Taking care of myself. And you have a full-time job taking care of yourself. And so do you. That's what sin is. And if you'd ever get the concept of what sin really is, you'll say with Isaiah, "Woe is me. I'm undone. Mine eyes have seen the King." Father, bless the message.